Offside. Služabniki oligarhije. V Ukrajini prihaja ponovno do izraza, kako neuspešni so bili vsi poskusi, da bi ustavili vseobsegajočo korupcijo in vpliv oligarhov na državne institucije. Nedavna odločitev ukrajinskega ustavnega sodišča glede neustavnosti ustanovitve nacionalnega protikorupcijskega urada bo morda imela usoden vpliv na obstoj do sedaj vzpostavljene protikorupcijske infrastrukture, ki tako ni bila pretirano učinkovita. Neresnost države pri reševanju korupcije se je pokazala, ko je bil na konferenco v začetku septembra, na kateri bi naj sodelovali evropski predstavniki in člani Ukrajinskega instituta za demokracijo in razvoj, povabljeni tudi zloglasniki oziroma tudi zloglasni sodnik Pavlo Volk, vpleten v številne škandale. Predstavniki Evropske unije se konference potem, ko so izvedeli za povabljene goste, niso želeli udeležiti. Skoraj vsak kotiček državnega aparata v Ukrajini bi lahko povezali s sistemsko korupcijo in nadvlado številnih oligarhov, ki nadzorujejo večji del ukrajinskega BDP-ja in narekujejo najpomembnejše odločitve visokih državnih uradnikov. Najbolj problematično je skorumpirano in nereformirano sodstvo, s katerim upravlja peščica vplivnih sodnikov, ki imajo vpliv na celoten državni ustroj. Prototip in utelešanje koruptivnega sistema ter arbitrarnega delovanja je postalo Kijevsko administrativno sodišče na čelu z njegovim predsednikom Pavlom Volkom. Administrativno sodišče v Kijevu je zadolženo za pritožbe proti vladnim odločitvam. Odloča torej o zadevah, pri katerih kot ena izmed strank v sporu nastopa država. Zaradi svojih pristojnosti so sodnik Volk in njegovi podrejeni lahko pomagali velikemu številu državnih uradnikov, ki so bili vpleteni v različnih koruptivnih schemah. Volk je predsednik sodišča postal pod proruskim predsednikom Viktorjem Janukovičem. Pozornost javnosti pa je zbudil z razsodbami, s katerimi je administrativno sodišče za določen čas prepovedalo mirna zborovanja v času množičnih protestov konec leta 2013. Takrat se je Janukovič namreč odločil, da država ne bo podpisala pridružitvenega sporazuma z Evropsko unijo. Pavlo Volk je v času svojega predsedovanja na sodišču razširil svoj vpliv. Do sedaj je večkrat prepričal v nujno potrebne reforme v državi. Posegal v vladne odločitve in pomagal skorumpiranim oligarhom uiti sankcijam. Med drugim je njegovo sodišče ne samo enkrat pomagalo enemu najvplivnejših ukrajinskih oligarhov Igorju Kolomojskemu. Volk je bil skupaj z nekaterimi sodniki strani protikorupcijskega urada, bolj znanega pod okrajšavo NABU, že dvakrat obtožen. Nazadnje julija letos, vendar je na njegovi strani cel državni aparat, ki mu zvesto pomaga pri ohranjanju položaja. Obtožbe protikorupcijskega urada proti Volku pojasni Oleg Sukov, novinar Kijev Posta.
Charged Volk and other judges with obstruction of justice and unlawful rulings. So, like a lot of government agencies, courts, and prosecutors, they did their best to obstruct this case, to destroy this case. So the courts, prosecutors, the High Council of Justice, they helped Volk to evade responsibility. Because of this political protection that Volk had, the case was destroyed. The first case against Volk was destroyed. Now this year in July, the NABU opened another case against Wolfk and charged him with bribery, usurpation of power, and other crimes. And the second case, so basically what happened, like the second case was even more solid than the first one. It's like, and still, because of this political protection that Wolfk has, he's managed so far to evade responsibility.
Predsednik Volodimir Zelenski je svoji predsedniški kampanji, tako kot njegovi predhodniki, obljubljal velike reforme v sodstvu, ki bi pomagale pri razreševanju problema korupcije. Potem, ko so prišle v javnost obtožbe proti sodniku Volku in njegovemu sodišču, se je od Zelenskega pričakovalo, da bo razrešil administrativno sodišče v Kijevu, do česar pa ni prišlo. Zelenski je ob tem celo pripomnil, da nima pravice posegati v sodstvo. Delovanje Zelenskega komentira Sukov.
So and Zelenski's comments show that basically there is no will at all on his part to fight corruption, because it's he claimed that he had no right to interfere in this issue, in the Wolf case. But the real reason was that his influential, friends like the Yermak and Avakov, they are friends with Wolfk. So this was the reason why Zelensky did nothing about this case, because there were a lot of things that he could have done constitutionally without actually interfering in the actual investigation, like to initiate a law on liquidation of this court. He could have initiated a law on the replacement of the corrupt High Council of Justice members who helped Wolfk.
Ena izmed pomembnih potez Zelenskega v boju proti korupciji bi naj bilo imenovanje nove generalne tožilke Irine Venediktove. Venediktova se je izkazala kot velika zaveznica Zelenskega, on pa deluje v korist številnih drugih akterjev, kot sta Arsen Avakov, podjetnik in politik, in Andrij Jermak, filmski producent, ki ga je Zelenski imenoval za vodjo svojega kabineta. Nemogoče je pričakovati, da bo nova generalna tožilka preganjanja glavne akterje v korupcijski mreži, kot je na primer Volk. O tem, da bi Venediktova lahko preganjala Volka, govori Sukov.
So first of all, the prosecutor general Venediktova, she like refused to apply for Volk's suspension as a judge, which was a necessary step for prosecuting him. And then under public pressure, she finally applied for it. And the High Council of Justice, which is the judiciary's governing body, it refused to suspend him. So it also helped him. But the High Council of Justice, again, it is directly implicated in the Wolf case, because members of that council helped, according to NABU, the tapes released by the NABU, they helped Wolfk in his corrupt schemes. So basically there is a major conflict of interest, and a lot of anti-corruption activists say that this High Council of Justice is as corrupt as Wolfk's court, so it should be, both of them should be dissolved and replaced with honest people and professional people.
Zelenski ni prvi predsednik, ki je obljubljal reforme in izkorinjanje korupcije. Njegov predhodnik Petro Porošenko je tako napovedal, da bo zamenjal vse sodnike skorumpiranega administrativnega sodišča v Kijevu, do česar nikoli ni prišlo. Je pa pod Porošenkom prišlo do formacije pomembnih organov v boju proti korupciji. Sestavo državne infrastrukture, ki je nastala pod Porošenkom, pojasni Sukov.
Under Poroshenko, so the so-called anti-corruption infrastructure in Ukraine was supposed to be created. So it consists of three pillars, the NABU, the National Anti-Corruption Bureau, then the Special Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office, and the High Anti-Corruption Court. So the NABU is the investigative bureau. It investigates corruption. And then prosecutors, anti-corruption prosecutors, they oversee the NABU and they prosecute corruption cases. And then the case goes to trial to the anti-corruption courts, which tries anti-corruption, which tries corruption cases. So this is the way it's supposed to work.
Vse tri glavne stebre, ki jih opisuje Sukov, je politični establishment že večkrat želel diskreditirati in vplivati na njihovo neodvisnost. Nazadnje se je to pokazalo z odločitvijo ustavnega sodišča, ki je razsodilo, da je Porošenko posegel svoje moči pri ustanovitvi protikorupcijskega urada. Ob tej razsodbi se je hitro začelo govoriti o zamenjavi direktorja urada Artema Sitnika, ki je bil v boju proti korupciji razmeroma uspešen. Oziroma vsaj uspešnejši od državnega tožilstva in policije. Sukov predstavi odločitev ustavnega sodišča.
Basically, the Constitutional Court said that the decree on Sitnik's appointment was unconstitutional and parts of the law on the NABU were also unconstitutional. Basically, it did not say exactly what should be done and kind of put the NABU in a limbo. But some, you know, some people close to the corrupt establishment, they like Partnov, Yanukovych's former deputy chief of staff, they argued that Sitnik should be fired or should resign immediately. But, you know, others say that actually the Constitutional Court's rulings do not entail Sitnik's dismissal, so that Sitnik actually cannot be dismissed based on those rulings until his term expires in 2022.
Na vrsti je sedaj Ukrajinska rada, parlament, ki bi lahko rešitev glede problematičnosti protikorupcijskega urada ponudil s sprejetjem novega zakona.
The Rada might pass a law that would regulate this issue, and there are concerns that the Rada will pass a law that will pretend to comply with the Constitutional Court ruling and basically fires Sitnik based on a law. But if that happens, then obviously it's very likely that the independence of the NABU will be destroyed. Because in many previous cases, like for example with the State Investigation Bureau, with the Prosecutor General's Office, Zelensky's government appointed loyal proteges who were very ineffective on the one hand, and on the other hand, they were very loyal to the government. They would never go after incumbent top officials. So incumbent top-level corruption would never be investigated if they appoint some loyal, protege instead of Sitnik.
Še ena institucija, ki je zapletena v boj za vpliv med oligarhi in javnim interesom, je centralna banka, predvsem zaradi svoje vloge pri regulaciji bančnega sektorja. Oligarh, ki je najbližje Zelenskemu, Igor Kolomojski, je bil zapleten v pravni spor glede lastništva največje komercialne banke v Ukrajini, Privatbank. Ta je bila v lasti Kolomojskega in z njim povezanih poslovnežev do konca leta 2016, ko je država nacionalizirala, da bi preprečila njen bankrot, s čim bi brez prihrankov ostala tretjina ukrajinskih varčevalcev. Država je morala privat bank, ki je sedaj v državni lasti, dokapitalizirati s približno 5 milijardami evrov. Kolomojski vse do takrat bije sodne bitke po ukrajinskih in angleških sodiščih, da bi dosegel razveljavitev nacionalizacije in vrnitev banke v svoje roke. Žrtev boja za vpliv na centralno banko, ki ima ključno vlogo v regulaciji bančnega sektorja in je močno zagovarjala nacionalizacijo, je letos poleti postal tudi guverner centralne banke. Jakiv Smoli, ki je nastopil zaradi političnih pritiskov na banko. Razlaga Irina Solonenko, strokovnjakinja na področju ukrajinske notranje politike.
National Bank of Ukraine tried until now to conduct the policy which would ensure that the banking reform which took place before Zelensky came to power would stay and the policy would ensure economic growth and so on. But apparently this was not for the benefit of the oligarchs, of the people who are not interested, as I said. And so they managed to convince Zelensky or convince his surrounding that it would be better to get rid of the governor. So it would be better to exercise pressure on the National Bank. So he resigned because basically he understood that he couldn't conduct the policy of the National Bank should be independent by law. And he couldn't be independent anymore. He felt constant political pressure. So that's why he decided to resign.
V središču vseh teh bojev za oblast v državnih institucijah je dogajanje v parlamentu, kjer ima večino stranka predsednika Zelenskega, imenovana po naslovu televizijske nadaljevanke Služabnik ljudstva, v kateri je igral ukrajinskega predsednika, preden je bil na ta položaj tudi izvoljen. A kot pravi Sukov, to ni spremenilo tega, kako deluje realna moč v Ukrajini.
The vast majority of the servants of the people faction in parliament is dependent on Yermak, you know, Avakov, and the oligarchs. So they are also allied with other factions like the opposition platform for the future and others. Other factions that also serve like pro-Russian forces, Medvedchuk, or the oligarchs, Yermak and Avakov. And this is the real majority in parliament. It's the pro-corruption majority, the pro-establishment majority. I don't know like how much control Zelensky has over it. As I said before, it looks like he's not very interested in actually running the government. He's just being like he's kind of a figurehead president. But Yermak and Avakov have complete control over this pro-corruption majority in parliament. Kolomoisky also is allied with them, obviously, and Medvedchuk and the pro-Russian forces are allied with them de facto, because all of them are pro-corruption and pro-establishment. So this is the basis of the alliance.
Stranka Služabnik ljudstva je, kot je pri strankah, ki so nastale tik pred volitvami pogosto, začela razpadati na frakcije.
Pro-reform minority in the servants of the people faction, but as far as I can understand, it does not decide anything and it's not very influential. And there is also like a small pro-reform faction in parliament called the Voice, which is also quite small, so these two factions basically they're relatively pro-Western and pro-reform, but as I said before, they don't have a majority and they cannot influence much.
Zelenski se dobro leto po nastopu predsedniškega mandata, ki ga je začel z večjim političnim kapitalom kot katerikoli izmed njegovih predhodnikov po Leonidu Kučmi, vse bolj kaže za politika, ki je veliko bolj kot služabnik ljudstva, služabnik peščice najbogatejših poslovnežev, ki so si premoženje pridobili z divjo privatizacijo v 90-ih. Čeprav se nekatere figure menjajo, zdaj v Londonu biva ena klika oligarhov, zdaj druga, ostaja stari osovraženi sistem korupcije, ki se razteza od vrhov države, državne administracije navzdol, nedotaknjen. Offside je pripravila Ajda.
Radio študent.